Town of Garner, Town Council Meeting, February 25th, 2020.
Ms. Alantos Lawler, who is going to be speaking with us regarding the Jones Sausage Road Feasibility Study. So welcome. How do you use yours, ma'am?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I ask you guys to bear with me. I am also fighting off a bug, but
sorry to hear that.
Hopefully I'm able to keep my voice for the rest of this presentation. Okay. Mayor and members of the Town Council, you're here tonight to discuss the Jones Sausage Road Improvements Feasibility Study, and we thank everybody for the patience that you've shown in waiting for the results from this feasibility study. We've been, throughout the progression of the study, we've been trying to be as careful to take everything into consideration with the different alternatives that are advanced. And so we are here to present to you tonight the findings from the feasibility study. Just to give you a little bit of background, Jones Sausage Road includes two phases. There's two sections. There's the northern section of improvements, which includes widening an existing two-lane roadway to a four-lane roadway. And then the southern section includes the realignment and the extension of Jones Sausage Road, which will also be a four-lane roadway. So to give you some project history, this kind of got kicked off through the Southeast Area Study, which was a hotspot analysis that was sponsored by the Capital Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, or CAMPO. And initial analysis suggested that the roadway should go under the railroad. However, there wasn't detailed discussion that was conducted with the NCDOT Rail Division. And so, fast forwarding to today, the Town of Garner sponsored this feasibility study in order to do a more in-depth analysis and to see what design would be more feasible. And so through this, we had our consultants, HDR, which are here with us tonight and will be available later for questions if you have any. And so we had them look at traffic projections along Jones Sausage in the study area to see what that might look like in the future. And we had them come up with a conceptual design. So this isn't a full design set. It's just preliminary design to look at how that realignment might look. And so after they produced the preliminary design, they advised us that it would be more ideal to have the road go over the railroad. And after that, we held meetings with the NCDOT Rail Division, as well as landowners that are in the surrounding area that would be affected by the realignment. And through those meetings, we discovered that it is more beneficial to have the roadway go over the rail for a number of reasons. The drainage impacts would be far more substantial if the road were to go under the rail. The costs would be much more substantial as well as the impacts to the landowners in the surrounding area. And so this is why we decided to proceed with the option of going over the rail. So there are two alternatives that were developed. The first one is the one that you see here on the screen. And so we had HDR explore two alternatives. One still includes this access road to the East Garner Magnet Middle School. And here you see a rendering of what that would look like with the grade separation going over the rail. And then the second alternative that we asked the consultant to look at would be if we removed that school access road. And the reason we did this was to see if that would require, if that would involve fewer impacts, and what the difference might be. And after exploring both alternatives, we found that there were slightly fewer impacts in terms of right-of-way takings with this second alternative, but they are not necessarily substantial. Both options are still on the table as this hasn't been finalized, but that's all documented in the tech memo. And here is a rendering of what that would look like, the alternative without the school access, which would have been right here. So getting down to cost estimates, as discussed previously, we had an estimate that had been tossed around of how much it might cost to fund the grade separation. And as I mentioned, those initial estimates were very high level and they didn't involve studies, which this did. And so the final estimate that we came to was $31.5 million, and we would look to proceed with this through NCDOT spot process and to get this funded as a railroad project. And so then the next steps that we are looking at, we are seeking for council's agreement and authorization to adopt the technical memorandum as an appendix to the Garner Ford Transportation Plan. And these are all steps that would help us to advance this through the spot process and to show that the town of Garner has taken steps to advance this project and to ensure its feasibility, essentially. And then beyond that, we would require a public hearing, and the planning department is suggesting that we look at the second meeting in March, which I believe would be the 17th of March. So with that, does anybody have any questions or comments?
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to call Ms. Single in just a minute. As I understand it this evening, of course, this is an information gathering process and a very detailed report in spots. We're not looking to take any action of any kind tonight, as I understand it. I will call to your attention, there is a written item that Morris and Associates has provided to council members here. We just got it this evening. See that as information this evening. But go ahead, Ms. Singleton. We will begin discussions and questions at this point.
Yes, you showed us, you took the two alternatives, one with the school access and one without. Now, without the school access, I believe we're going to have to do some coordination with Wake County Public School System for their traffic pattern on that school, on at East Garner Middle School, correct?
Yes, you're correct. That would involve coordination.
And that hasn't happened yet because we don't know what route we're going to take, correct?
Correct, yes. So
okay.
Neither option is
so
definite.
Just out of curiosity, has anyone looked to see if that's even viable? If we're going to talk about an alternative that's not even viable because they couldn't do the traffic pattern at the school. Might almost spend time and then pick an alternative and say, well, we can't do the traffic pattern, that won't work. So have we even... I don't know what you may or may not have done in regards to just considering what can be done to see if a new traffic pattern could work at the school. I don't know.
So we did some cursory looking at their site to see what opportunities might be there. Either any of the options that we looked at would probably involve looking at reorienting their track, which I'm not sure how much that gets used. It appears that maybe it's been used on and off over the years. Currently, I think they have some modular mobile units in the middle of the track, and at different points, you can see from photographs anyways that people have been parking on there. So there is room on the east side if there were some minor reorientation to their kind of athletic play fields. And then we've also been in some preliminary discussions with Mr. Smith, who represents Mr. Jurgen's property next door, that maybe there could be an opportunity to work out some land arrangements that would help accommodate that as well.
Okay. So you believe that there's something that can possibly be worked so that access is closed off? It can, the circulation pattern can be, a new circulation pattern can be implemented at the cost of the town, the DOT, and whoever else is putting the road in.
Yeah, at least there's some options where there's not a building in the way. So. Okay.
All right. That's one question I had. I'm sure I'll just have other questions.
Okay. Let's see. I will start to my right and maybe start with Ms. Behringer.
The question I had was Mr. Singleton brought up some.
Okay. All right. Mr. Vance.
Ms. Gabby, can you explain briefly how this feasibility study will assist in better positioning this for the SPOT program, SPOT process of DOT?
Sure. So in order to help this project in the SPOT scoring process, it helps when a municipality has essentially studies that it advances on its own, because that then means that there is less that needs to be done on the front end on NCDOT's part if this project were to advance. So essentially this feasibility study is work that would need to be done through DOT if we hadn't done it. So that all gets factored into the scoring process and theoretically would help it to score a little bit better.
When will it be ready to be scored?
Sorry?
When will it be ready to be scored?
So we submitted...
It's currently, we're in the SPOT 6.0 process, and so it's currently in for scoring. Once we were able to get some preliminary cost information, we were able to get that to CAMPO so that new pricing information could be factored in as well. So they're currently in the process of finalizing the project submittals from CAMPO to DOT for final scoring, and we'll get that final scoring results later this year.
That's it for you for now. Mr. Dellinger.
We approved a site plan for a project at the office complex on Jones Sausage and Garner Road. What impacts would this have on that site plan in terms of access on and off of Jones Sausage and also the backside of that property as the rise starts? It looks like the whole... I guess that's the east side of that property would have to be used as part of the elevation. Is that correct?
Are you? I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right.
There, that whole east side there.
East side,
it looks like there's a gradation, kind of where I remember one of the entrance and exits being on the site plan we approved. Would this completely potentially eliminate access to that office part from Jones Sausage Road?
So that access would be approximately right here where I've got my cursor marked now. That was shown as a right in, right out. There would probably be some additional grading activity, but the thought is that it could be tied in. It may require some additional grading back into the parking lot a little bit, but it theoretically it could. Otherwise, they did have their two points of access out on the East Garner, but the hope is that we can keep that one. It may not be a preferred grade, but I think it could be still accessed.
Excuse me. And my other question, on page 18 of, I guess, the feasibility study, or actually page 10, page 18 of the agenda, it talks about the demographic area, data in the area, saying the initial data can be seen on table 4 and 5. Census data indicates there's a notable presence of minority and low-income populations. Additional community studies are recommended based on this information. Well, to date, what outreach, active outreach, has there been to the communities affected based on this analysis?
So that is something that we would have to do going forward, and that's part of the reason for the public hearing, because prior to this, we were just looking at things very conceptually to see what the options are on the table, so what can even feasibly be constructed. Now that we have our alternatives, we can go to the public and get that sort of feedback. So up until this point, there haven't been any public meetings for this.
Or invitation to have any input on this at all to this point?
No, I mean, at this point, it's just been whatever we've done in terms of publicizing the actual study and having things related to this. But for DOT, they do also have their NEPA process that they would have to go through as this moves forward into development. And they'll have a number of public outreach community meetings and things of that nature, too, before they get to the final preferred design.
And you're looking to have a public hearing on this relatively soon. Is that correct?
If that's acceptable to y'all. I mean, we could look at, we could do it as soon as March 17th, but it could be any date thereafter as well.
And what efforts would you make to reach out to the community leading up to that, other than the bare minimum of posting it on the website and putting a sign on the, like, what other actual proactive efforts would be made to reach out to these communities?
I mean, at this point, it really depends on what you all would like us to do. You know, to date, we've been focusing mostly on the southern portion. We do have the next stage of this particular planning effort that will focus on the part from Amazon to Garner Road. So there will be additional opportunities and outreach as part of that. So I think that's kind of where we envisioned more of the additional outreach going, being that we've concentrated on the southern part and we've been working with the property owners directly adjacent to this portion to date. So that would be my ultimate suggestion, is that we build in more of the larger community as part of that next phase, which is going to impact a whole lot more property owners.
Are we going to hear from HDR tonight?
If you have any questions that you would like to direct to them, sure.
Ms. Singer.
I have another question, since we're talking about right northern and the southern part, because the northern part will hopefully get done a lot. I think we'll all realistically have the northern part should get done before the southern part is. In looking at one of the diagrams you have on us with the showing the right of way, it's got all the colors showing all the lanes at the intersection of Garner Road and Gun Sausage. The northern part is going to stop at Garner Road. There will not be any improvements made south of Garner Road in the initial phase we're talking about doing, correct? In other words, we're going to be coming, we're going to be connecting to the part the improvements that Amazon makes. So there's going to be, it looks like two dedicated lanes going straight, a left turn and a right turn. Is that what's coming, being designed right now on the northern half of this project? Because if it is, I mean, we have to make some improvements across the road a little ways, because we've got two lanes going straight, and right now there's just one. I'm just seeing how far we're going to go across that intersection with any improvements in the, not, I mean, this is not the southern half, I'm not talking about the bridge and all that, I'm talking about the northern half. While we got it here in front of us, I'm just curious, if we're going to make massive improvements in the intersection, how far they can go on the southern side.
So Eastern Lake Innovation Park, as part of their approval, will be doing their portion of the widening as it is today. So if there's additional widening that would be required based on this plan, I think we would at least have to take some amount of improvement on the south side so that those lanes can be received in the positions that they need to be in, and then some kind of appropriate taper back to the existing.
Okay, so we're prepared and thinking ahead, and as we did, as Mr. Dellums mentioned, the site plan for the three large Class A office buildings. So we're prepared to, as Jeff said, to receive the lanes from the northern side to the south side, and they'll taper down back to the existing roadway. And while we're talking about it, when the Amazon part of it is up in June or July or August, whenever it is this year, we're going to get, why in the heck hadn't y'all done the other half? And so we'll just at least let them know they can hear what's coming.
Sure. Good evening. My name is Jeff Dayton with HDR Engineering, Mr. Mayor, members of council. To answer your question, most of the widening we assumed in phase one would primarily be north of the East Garner Road intersection. That's why you see, I think it was around $4 million cost. Most everything, again, just to tie it back through that, all the major improvements that would be associated with the project and where most of the funding was that needed construction cost estimates were all basically that intersection and then further south with the bridge down to US 70.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Well, so this intersection I'm looking at here, this is just the improved intersection when the whole southern leg's done, what you're telling me.
That's correct, yes, sir.
Okay. So when the northern part's done that you're designing right now, I know there's some additional right-of-way needed at Garner Road, and Joe Salter's staff has told us. So how will that intersection coming from the north side look as you're going to face the southern side? How many lanes will there be?
Right. I believe it's two lanes continuing south, and then there'll be a separate right turn lane that would go on to East Garner Road. And then conversely, it will be two lanes headed northbound as well on Jones Sausage Road.
Okay. And then the two lanes going across, going south, will taper down to one lane pretty quick.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's correct. Because, again, most of the bigger improvements were tacking on to this additional cost that will be coming from the Department of Transportation as well.
Just want to know what's going to happen, because I know some intersections, some of the improvements on the northern half part of the project had to go to and through the southern half. I just want to find out. Clarification. Okay. And y'all are currently on the design phase of that portion of the project, correct?
No, sir. We've done
design phase, I'm sorry. Still study phase.
Correct. So all we've completed to date was this feasibility study, and I believe that the next step was to take it to a design phase for that phase one piece.
Northern half.
Yes, sir.
Northern portion. Okay.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dayton. I appreciate it.
Okay, any other questions for HDR? Anybody on the council? Okay. I just a couple comments. It's my understanding that what brings us here this evening, of course, is a lot of preliminary work and meetings. Do I understand correctly that most of the property owners in this area have met or maybe sometimes met with others? And while this is not a public hearing this evening, so we're not taking public testimony, I would note the written correspondence that we have in front of us. I think it would be proper at least to ask that there is a request that has been made in the last sentence paragraph of that. Are you aware of that? And I'd like for somebody to weigh in on the request made here in this letter about Marsh desiring their engineer to be able to coordinate directly and collaborate with town consolidation at a technical level. Somebody talk to me about that.
So, referring to the last page. So John and I met with Mr. Gaganis a little bit earlier in the day today. And I think, Steve, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if I say anything incorrectly. I think the idea is that with they have submitted plans for review for that site. I feel like there's enough room still to accommodate their goals, but we can certainly use any work that they do throughout this process to help further inform plans as they get developed further by NCDOT. I certainly don't have any issues with sharing of information. I don't think at this point it's probably in our best interest to try to be tweaking the plan too much. These are more finer scale details that would get worked out anyways as the planning process moves forward for the road project. Again, I think that there's ample flexibility with their current site plan process to accommodate their goals. And then if there's additional changes that ultimately work in a property owner's favor as the project progresses, the road project, we can certainly amend the plan to take advantage of that in the future.
And just at least for my edification, I think I know generally, but just give me a time frame and the next steps beyond what we're doing here this evening. What's coming next?
So the next step will be for us to finalize the scope with HDR for the second phase of this project, which is to actually get the actual construction drawings ready for the northern half, and then wait on the spot scoring for this southern half to happen. And so we would move forward then with the northern part, the widening, get those construction drawings done, get a final cost, so that you all have that for the bond discussion, and then let the DOT spot process take its course for having the southern portion eventually hopefully get funded, which is probably at least a 6-7 year window.
Mr. Mayor, I have one question.
Go ahead.
And looking at the letter and what just came to mind here, what type of access control do we have for the feasibility study? What type of access control do we consider? Partially total or?
You are correct. Yes, sir. It's partial access. So what we're assuming on Jones Sausage Road is basically right in, right out. As you come along, it's any driveway through there would be a right in and a right out. There would not be lefts out of the driveways. That's correct. So there is basically a median dividing this down the center of the roadway. That's correct.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sort of a curiosity question, I guess. The figures that you gave us earlier, the $31 million, does everybody feel like that's a fairly solid figure for the overall cost? Is that going to change dramatically? Can anybody say? No.
Well, I think we can all answer that because the funding's not approved for 6 or 7 years and construction may not place in place for 7 to 9 to 10 years. I think we often realize that the cost will probably go up.
Well,
I don't think any of us are going to.
Correct.
I think we're going to get that lucky. Yeah.
So, correct. We definitely try to err on the side of caution there. There's, if you look in the report that was handed out in the back, there's the quantities and the cost. So there's a 45% contingency that's sort of added on at this early stage of the game to try to help put a little extra fluff, we'll call it, in. Because you're right, every prices are going up, and by the time this actually got around to construction, certainly it would be high. So that's why we're trying to have that extra little bit of fluff in that cost estimate. So
I appreciate you. Rather use the word contingency than fluff.
I think it is noted as there's contingency.
I appreciate you being very generous with that because, I mean, y'all do this, y'all know what it's going to do. It's going to go up in cost. And the generous contingency you have in there will at least make it whenever this project hopefully gets done one day. Maybe it won't knock everybody out of the chair. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right. Any other questions? Last go around. Okay. Council, you're satisfied? We don't need to hear from HDR. Anything else, Ms. Lawler?
That's it. So no additional questions.
Yeah, no action required tonight. We've received the information and Mr. Morris's letter. I'm sure others will have a chance to provide testimony at subsequent hearings as we move forward.
I will say, if you don't mind, Mr. Mayor, I'll follow what Mr. Dellinger touched on, that when we do work on the northern part, that and we have public meetings, I hope we contact all the property owners. I know you will. All John Joe Salters Road, a lot of longtime homeowners, and the right-of-way has been there for a long time also for a road project. But I'm assuming you're probably the community, one or two open meetings to invite people, just like in the past. Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll keep that in mind.
Okay, if there's nothing else, then thank you for the report, and we'll wait for the next steps, and an action is required to be prepared. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, the next item of business on our agenda is the UDO Rewrite Steering Committee, and Mr. Triesenberg is back up in regards to that.
Good evening again, Mr. Mayor. Actually, I don't know that I said that before, so good evening, yes. Mr. Mayor, council members. Yes, Jeff Triesenberg with the Planning Department. The first item that I have for you following that presentation is just a brief update on where we are with the UDO rewrite process and the request to look amongst yourselves and see who might want to volunteer for the steering committee. we have, for the most part, concluded our initial stakeholder meetings that we've had with folks. These meetings covered a good sampling of folks that work in the development community that are either actually the developers or the engineers and landscape architects who work with the ordinance. We invited several of the HOA memberships to come and talk about their experiences with the UDO, as well as representatives from the various staff departments, folks in economic development, and we had a specific session also that focused on folks downtown, because I do think that's where we probably have most of our challenges with the current code. Not to say that we don't have others, but that seems to be the one that makes our code very difficult to apply today. We do have a makeup meeting for some of those folks tomorrow. We did have these as the snow was beginning to bear down on us, so there were a few people who could not make the meeting, so we are going to have kind of a makeup session tomorrow for those folks. Folks have also been encouraged to submit comments and thoughts to us via email. And so the next step in getting the process really moving is to go ahead and establish the steering committee. We wanted to use the stakeholder meetings as an opportunity to try and identify some folks who might want to serve on the steering committee. So we do have five positions, five slots that are open to members of the development community or just the local general citizenry. To date, I've had six people express interest in those positions. So keep that in mind as I move forward here. Planning Commission has already identified the three folks that they would like to have participate on the steering committee. And then there would be two slots for folks from the council to make a committee total membership of 10. Of course, there will be staff members involved throughout the process as well on the technical side. But this would be about a 12 to 14 month commitment on a monthly basis. I went ahead and worked with the consulting team to try to identify a kickoff meeting date. If we need to move that back or try to come up with something different, we can, but I did want to at least put a date out there that folks could think about. This would just be a kickoff meeting, more of an orientation more than anything. We could have options for folks to call in on a conference call as well. But in order to try to keep things on schedule, I wanted to go ahead and put some dates out there. Doesn't mean we have to go with those dates. We can push back if you all would like. But the idea would be is that we could have you formally appoint the steering committee members at your meeting on the 2nd, and then have that first steering committee meeting on the 5th. We have kind of loosely identified Thursdays as the date that we're kind of looking at of the week. We're somewhat flexible in what time of the day that could be. Initially, we've kind of identified either the early afternoon or the early evening, or sorry, late afternoon or early evening, kind of somewhere in that 3 to 7 window. But ideally, at this point, we just wanted to get some feedback from you all as to if any of you have thought about whether or not you'd like to serve on the steering committee, what questions you might have, and to see what kind of timing you would prefer.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Triesenberg. And as I read this, obviously the mayor's had a chance to appoint some folks to other committees, but I don't read this one that way unless the council preferred me to do that. But council, this seems to me it's up to your directive, your pleasure in terms of either going through a nominating process to nominate yourself or one of your fellow council members. But I think having two members on there is certainly worthwhile in what we should do. So ideally, you've given some thought to this even before this meeting, as I have. But I'll open it up for some discussion at this point regarding what your thoughts are and give your opinion on this. I can start. Gray, I'll give you a break. I'll start down here.
I have just a few general questions. Mm-hmm. And they may be too general, but
that's okay.
Why are we doing this?
Why are we doing a steering committee?
The UDO.
The UDO rewrite.
Mm-hmm.
So the UDO rewrite, in my professional estimation, is long overdue. This is a product that we're working with that was written in the 90s. And while it did a pretty good job of envisioning some of the demands that we are faced with today, it does not deal very effectively or efficiently with newer mixed use concepts, whether they're either horizontal mixed use or vertical mixed use. And I firmly believe that with the, you know, the onset of transit, potentially with commuter rail and bus rapid transit, we need to have some better ways of being able to deal with those kinds of scenarios and be able to invite developers in to help us create those kinds of places in certain spots of Garner. So that to me is one of the most primary reasons. There's certainly a lot of others, just in terms of it being a pretty cumbersome document. It's been amended, hodgepodge, kind of, you know, piecemeal over the last two decades. That inevitably leads to a lot of redundancies, conflicting directives, and just things, other interpretation issues that arise from it being a very uncoordinated document now at this point. And then, of course, having just done the comprehensive plan, we've identified some goals in there that we just don't have the tools that would need to be added to the UDO.
You mentioned some of the issues with downtown. What would you say are two of the most pressing and problematic and urgent issues in our current UDO?
Again, I would go back to the mixed use. And then also somewhat related to that is our landscaping ordinance. The landscaping ordinance was definitely geared towards more traditional suburban development, and it does not handle a more compact mixed-use kind of environment. The standards are just not geared for that, and they really need to be retooled and give developers an option to treat the natural environment in a much different way.
Okay. Other council members want to weigh in with questions or thoughts, observations? None? Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Vance.
I don't have questions, but I would be interested in serving on that steering committee.
And if there someone else is interested in serving, I mean, if we have Ms. Barron, if there's someone else like to serve, this is Mr. Bellinger's hand. I think we have our two, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see his hand at first.
I didn't raise it.
Way up there. Yeah. Thank you.
I'll give you your chance.
Yep. Okay. Council, guess, go ahead.
I do have a question. Given that we, the two that have volunteered, Mr. Friesenberg, can you live with that?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to see if you paused at all.
That's the right answer.
What if he said no? What are you going to do?
I don't know if we need a formal motion on this matter, Mr. Baggett.
I would suggest so, for the record.
Okay. So let me see. I need a motion that this council appoint two of its members, namely Ms. Behringer and Mr. Dellinger, to serve on the steering committee.
So moved.
Okay, Mr. Singleton has made the motion. As I second here, any last-minute thoughts or
backing out
reservations? Yeah, no. Okay. Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And there is no opposition. So, Ms. Behringer, thank you both for your willingness to serve. This is a time commitment, but it's a very important committee to serve on. And so, Jeff, we look forward to hearing from you and the committee moving forward. I think it'll be a
And just as far as the time frame going forward, what I will offer is that I will contact those six folks and just make sure that maybe there's one person that's kind of on the fence. Ideally, with there being five spots available, it would be very easy to just bring those five to you in your staff report for next week and just say, here they are. But there could be a chance that we may need to do some picking and choosing. So I don't know, is there a preference for how to handle that?
Council, anybody want to weigh in on that? I mean, as mayor, I don't have any problems if you're comfortable with the process you have in place, that you think you have five solid person, that's what you're looking for now. There may be a sixth one, and so somebody needs to referee who that's going to be. I guess you could bring that back here, but... are you comfortable with where you are right now?
I think so. I think if I run into anything, I'll get with John and we'll.
Okay, and if you need to bring it back here.
A different path if needed.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, so that's settled. Jeff, you're still up, I believe, right? We are at item three, a new planning technician position request.
Yes.
Share with us your concerns.
Sure. So this is kind of a new type of request of me to you. I don't think I've really had to do this before. We've kind of been able to grow the department through other means that have, I think, been beneficial to others as well, and it's worked out thus far. However, it has become very acutely aware to me that, particularly in the last, I would say, 4 to 5 months, that our workloads in planning, given the volume of development that we have going on, has really reached a critical point for staffing in the planning department. I think the thing that really brought that to the forefront is we have a lot of these residential subdivisions that are now coming up out of the ground. It's taken us a little bit to get to that point, but now that we're there, it's creating a pretty heavy workload for the Planner 1 position that we have on Stacy's side of the house. If you'll remember, previously we had the water sewer allocation policy. There were two types of housing, and it was the same no matter what subdivision you were in. That was a much easier process to police than enforce from our perspective. But as you know, that was probably not the best way to go about trying to bring about some housing quality type standards to these developments. So as much as we try to standardize what those conditions are that we put on in the zoning conditions, inevitably each subdivision ends up being just a little bit different. And so what has happened is there's a need to develop a list of these conditions for every development. You can't just rely as much on your working knowledge of what those standards were, because you've got more than two sets to remember, and that's just not efficient. And the numbers of building permits that are coming in is just creating a very heavy workload. So not only is it reviewing on the front end, which we have to do in a fairly timely fashion to keep the building permits generally on track within their statutory requirements for inspections, but then there's all the in-field inspections that have to be done to give a house its final CO. So what's happened is that Allison, in her job as a planner too, has had to help out with that part. Stacy has even had to help out with that part. We've even recruited Reggie in while he's been ramping up into his new position. He's got half of his position, you know, focused on the enforcement side, but while we've been kind of holding off to ramp up his other zoning duties, we brought him in to also help with this building permit review. And it just creates this backlog that slowly works its way up the chain. And so now it's also starting to affect our ability to review plans in a timely manner. I think I referenced that in the staff report that we've had to push out our time frames for reviews and what we tell developers to expect for their ultimate review timeline before they get to come to you. And while I don't think we're out of sync with the other communities in the area, if this pattern continues much further, we won't be at the head of the pack, or even in the front half of the pack. We'll be lagging and starting to get behind. So I did try to take a look at just, you know, how the building permit numbers are growing. And I put that information for you in the chart just so that you can see how that's going. I don't see that peaking until probably 3 years out. And that's even if it does peak at that point. So I do see growth. Mike Franks and I have been talking about that in the last few weeks, just to try to give you a better projection of things going forward. The number of plats is another good indicator of how much development activity is going on, and that number continues to increase. Again, it's not a huge number, but again, keep in mind that each plat can, depending on where it's at, can have anywhere from 3 to 100 some lots associated with it. So that number continues to grow. And then finally, I also did just an analysis of my peers in talking to them to see how many positions they had specifically dedicated to what I would call typical planning department work. So it included your basic current planning and long-range planning activities, as well as some GIS work that relates directly to planning. But each jurisdiction kind of handles code enforcement differently. So I separated that out and took out any positions related to code enforcement and just try to give you an idea of just how many planners each jurisdiction employs on a per capita basis. We're not the worst, but my friend up in Wake Forest tells me that she's working very hard because she does not have anybody that can do long-range planning. So she is sorely deficient in that area and has asked for at least two positions there to try to get up to speed. So it is a point. It is at a point now where it is affecting our abilities to give what I would call good customer service that we have in the past. This position could also be located up at the front desk, which currently planning does not have a presence on a permanent basis up at the front desk. So we continually have to go up to the front when there's a customer of ours. I think this would help the folks over in inspections and relieve a little pressure there, allow for some cross-training as well on just building permits generally, as well as give me somebody that can answer the main line. Right now I have nobody who can answer the main line. So unless people know who they are directly calling or take the time to listen to the directory and get themselves forwarded to a specific person, They're just getting the mini tree.
Just a question and a couple comments, then I'll defer to council. How long would you think that it would, if this is authorized, to get this person on board?
So we have a little bit of a silver lining there, so to speak, with coming with this request now. Given that Lauren, who was our previous planner one, she took a position that was a little closer to home in Fayetteville, and we promoted Elizabeth over from the planning tech position on David's side of the house into the planner one spot, we currently do have an advertisement out for a planning technician. Now, granted, it is on David's side of the house, and this position would be on Stacy's, but HR has reviewed the job descriptions and found that they're close enough that we would not have to re-advertise, and we could essentially hire two people from the current process that we're going through, so that there are some efficiencies there and that we are actively in a recruitment and we can recruit this other position if authorized from that same pool.
Okay, thank you. That was my observation. A couple of questions. Yeah, well, I think when you look at the table, the chart on page 62, and you see the progression there from 2015 back 5 years, it's pretty impressive in terms of the growth of residential permits and, of course, even the plats. And then I would also commend you for, on page 50, laying out in very concise language six very strong reasons for why you're making this request. They all make sense to me. Council, questions for Mr. Triesenberg or observations? Ms. Behringer, anything? Mr. Vance?
I don't have any.
Mr. Dellinger?
Just a comment that I appreciate the quantifying the need. That makes it very helpful, especially to compare us to some of our peers that are in similar situations. That helps with the decision making.
Thank you, Mr. Dillinger. Mr. Singler.
Yes, Jeff, I'll ask Mr. Beasley the same question when he's up here too.
Sorry.
I'm certainly in favor of this. I'm going to assume in the upcoming proposed budget that there may be another position or two that the planning department's looking at, correct? One. What planning, planner one, planning technique, what position type of, what level are we talking about?
That would be a senior planner position that would focus on GIS and department operations and helping us finding efficiencies, particularly with the onset of development review software. So my hope is that by asking for that position that we are able to absorb some increasing workloads better going forward by being able to realize some operational efficiencies via more effective use of our GIS software, which we have. We just don't have anybody that can help us maximize the use of it. That's their primary duty.
That would help not only the entire department, but also would help you address plans that are submitted for commercial, residential, whatever it might be.
Yeah, and it would also really help us in terms of being able to share information with the public more readily by having it in that electronic format that we can manage. We've got the tools necessary to push that information out. Again, there's just nobody that I have that can devote their time to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyone else? If there aren't any, then I believe the appropriate action is to move that we authorize a second full-time planning technician in the planning department as requested. There's some salary information somewhere, I believe, but I don't see it.
And John reminded me that this would then come to you on your consent agenda at the next meeting from the HR office.
So we don't need to move now, just on the consent agenda to approve, correct?
Correct.
Approve at the meeting next week.
Okay. All right.
Great. Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
That, Mr. Mayor, that when you see that on the consent agenda, it, what is technically happening is you are approving a change to the approved positions list. So it may not be described in the same way you're expected to see it on there, but it'll be in some sort of human resources kind of terminology. But that's effectively what it would be doing.
Okay. That's what we authorized, right? Yeah, okay. Mr. Beasley, inspection staffing needs. We have needs all around, do we not?
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I appreciate the opportunity to come back before you again. You know, as it says in my background, we continue to see, and as Mr. Triesenberg addressed, the growth and the development. So in the last 12 months, we've seen a double-digit increase. That increase is actually 39%. So is what it turned up to be in the number of permits and inspections over the previous year. So we've gone again, you know, it's, we did it last, this happened 3 years in a row now that we're seeing this. And we don't see, as Mr. Triesenberg said, we don't see any decrease in the near future. What's actually happening is we're beginning to see a dramatic increase. We have subdivisions on Garner Road that are ready now, and we've been advised, you know, they're getting ready to start coming in with that development. You know, Auburn Village is just going like gangbusters. They're bringing in 10 to 15 plans every couple of weeks. Now we're fixing to come out. We've got some pads ready on Aversboro Road down at the village, and it's just continuing, you know, and that's not counting all of our commercial that's getting ready to take place. That I have plans that we're reviewing. So, you know, it's sort of hitting that spot. So it comes at a time, all this growth is coming at a time that our department is actually struggling a little bit to meet all of our legislative mandates that has came out. You know, we have to provide inspections within 2 days. We have to do residential plan review within 15 days. And, you know, so we're making it. We're trying, we're next day for about 90%. I was at a meeting today with Cliff Isaac, Deputy Commissioner of Insurance, and this was one of the topics we discussed. So we're there, but the problem is we can't continue to give excellent customer service, meet the deadline dates, and not expose both our inspectors and us to some liability, because if you try to push too much on them, they're going to miss things that could come back to us. So we're at that point. And I'd be very remiss in the next paragraph if I didn't say, this council has been more than understanding and gracious. We came to you in 2017 and 18 because we had, back when the town rift and cut way back in inspections, growth came back. We came to you, demonstrated the demand. So in 17, 18, it took us 9 months to fill that position that y'all gave us in budget year 2000, the 17, 18 budget. I mean, we're all departments across the state are still struggling, especially in our market. Then, once again, we came back to you in the 18-19 year because we had a second supplemental position that we couldn't fill. We just couldn't find any part-time people that were retired that were willing to come back into the workforce. And we came back to you again with the demand. And once again, y'all granted us that. And we are more than appreciative. And even after we did that, it took us another 4 months to fill a position that we'd already had out there advertising for 5 months at that time. And we were very fortunate we were able to, you know, get somebody that lived in Garner to fill that position that came from another municipality. So we were very fortunate with that. However, you know, like I said, with the commercial side, you know, as we said before, we had an inspector, Mr. Barber, that's been assigned to the Amazon project. We pull him off on some of our other commercials, and he helps me with some commercial plan review. We got three hotels plans we're reviewing, two sets in the house right now, and the third one on the way. That project, as it ends up, then all of our other commercial level three stuff that for the mechanical and electrical side that he does will be back in his court. So it's not like we're gaining anything with the ending of the Amazon project for our commercial side. And so really we're looking for that four trade residential, which is where 90% of our other growth is at. So like I said, I mentioned our little bit of our legislative obligations that we're under. So with that and in my review part, like I told you, we've currently had that supplemental position that we y'all approved through the normal budget process last year. We've had that advertised for over 90 days. We had three applications, two unqualified and one that was not a fit for Garner. So we're now at that point that we're going to have to possibly consider, if I have anybody go out sick, we're going to be on the marketplace, which means I'm contracting that $35 to $50 an hour, not knowing who I'm going to get each time through the Department of Insurance, where I have to go to a marketplace and just do contract labor. You're not knowing what you're getting or the consistency of it. So I'm coming before you tonight, as I said in the background, about the supplemental position and the time it's been taking it to do it. Y'all have given us gracious two other times and we went through it and it still took time. But based on everything coming online, I also have a our chief building official has given us his indication he's leaving for sure in 24 months. So we know that vacancy is going to be coming up. That is the person that trains, supervises, and does evaluations for all my field inspectors. So I'm trying to, you know, help make sure I got people in place even before I lose a supervisor possibly. So we got to take a different look at our needs and how we can address that. So part of that is request that you're seeing is for a new funded position. We would still keep our current one supplemental. What we're asking to take the hours that we had, and I'll explain it in the recommendation that you'll see in a minute from current revenue savings with Mr. Franks. He's looked at our numbers, but we would take the money that was allocated to the additional supplemental hours and add that towards the new position. And then we would still keep our other supplemental because we will see that we'll still need the need of the person we have in that position right now. Part of the problem was, recently, we were made very well aware that under federal law, I can't work any more than 19.9 hours a week. We violated that a couple of times, but we won't anymore. But with that limitation, that's all of a sudden put us even in more of a pinch. So that's from the building side. The other unique opportunity that I'm asking you for tonight is not for to approve a new position, but to approve us to fund the position. Two budget cycles ago, you approved a new fire inspector, full-time fire inspector for my staff. At that time, as we were sorting through the new software that we got in conjunction with Garner Volunteer and Fire, we really weren't sure yet what our maintenance inspection requirement loads were that were mandated by the state to do every 1, 2, or 3 years based on occupancy, because they didn't exist. We were and non-compliance in many areas, and it took us 2 years to get those all caught up, and they're all in the system now. I can say that Mr. Padgett has done a phenomenal job. Mr. Whitehead and Mr. Lamb, our other supplemental person that you approved in the budget, they've done a oathman's job, and we've got all of our maintenance inspections caught up. They're all in the system. They're all scheduled, and we know how many hours that's going to take on average each year to complete. And so one of our supplemental inspectors is retiring. He's no longer able to do fire truck work. So he retired from Harnett County. So we have a unique opportunity that he still wants to work full time. And so we have an opportunity to pull him and promote him, so like we did Mr. Padgett, who was supplemental at the time he took over as the chief inspector. So we would be reallocating part of his supplemental dollars to a position that's already authorized, but it's just funding that position. And so I think that will help us a lot in that category, and then we would continue to work 750 hours a year out of Mr. Whitehead right now because of what we need help on in new construction.
Mr. Beasley.
Yes, sir.
I'm here. I was going to say, I think you've made a strong case in your presentation. I don't want to cut you short, but I also want us to move on. I'd like to see if council has any questions.
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor. I apologize. I'm just passionate about it. I appreciate all that y'all do, and I really want to let you know that, you know, I have frugally tried to do everything as minimum as I could and not come to you unless we really need it. But we're at a point I'm here to say we need help.
Right.
And I will, as I say earlier, I appreciate y'all supporting Jeff's position because that will help our front end load issue that we had. And to answer your other question about upcoming budget, part of this decision will change our decision packages in the upcoming budget. We did have a couple of positions, but it'll probably be 1.5 positions now instead of the 2 or 3 we were going to ask for.
Okay, thank you, sir. Let me see if council has any questions to ask regarding this request. Pretty thorough explanation of you.
Okay, I'll start. First, I just want to appreciate the work you all do. It's really, really important work for the safety of people who move to Garner and live in Garner.
And with that said, just from anecdotal things I've heard over the past year, hearing your explanation explains a lot, because I've heard anecdotal things of people having issues with inspections and saying, well, that person, I don't know, they just kind of drove by. And I'm seeing that you're tapping folks sometimes that aren't our folks. And I'm really a little concerned because the liability, it's such an important part of the town and growing the town and safety for everybody with all the new construction, the rehabbers who come in. I can see and feel the strain on it. So my questions are really like, what are we doing outside of the norm, or what in the norm and then outside of the norm to get more inspectors, the highest quality inspectors? And I hear you say it's a really tight market. And my guess for questions, how can we make ourselves more attractive to getting the best inspectors that we can get?
We have, as I shared with Mr. Hodges tonight, part of what y'all approved when my second year of taking over director was a career development ladder we have. And we've sort of become the model of that. Today, our career ladder is going to Wake County. They've requested it be their model. Fuquay took it last year. We've got Brunswick County today, and part of that meeting was Deputy Commissioner of Insurance Cliff Isaac was touting how we can take younger folks with some experience, and as they get certificates and training, reasonably compensate them so that we don't lose them. We didn't want to become the training ground if possible. But today, in our workshop today, there was 30, not counting anything here, the municipalities that were there represented 30 current job openings. The average time had been 6 to 9 months. One municipality's had two positions open for over 19 months that were in our meeting today. And I will give our legislative credit. They have started some reciprocal to help us recruit folks from out of state. I can tell you that I'm an ambassador for our department, everything we recruit every day. We try, and we try not to steal from people. I mean, they have to come to ask us for the job. I mean, I know that sounds prideful, but I wouldn't want somebody to come and try to hire my inspector without talking to me. If my inspector wants to leave, that's a different situation. So we've tried to be very mindful not to go out and headhunt for inspectors. But, that's the reason I said on the supplemental, we only had one that had some certificates. That was not a fit for Garner, going back to what I know from my 35 years quality and assurance that we need to make sure we have the right people in place that we can train to do the right job and the best job for Garner.
Yeah, and that's my comment. Anything that we can do to help get the best inspectors and keep them. Sounds like we're the victim of our own program. If everybody else is holding on and training their inspectors now, we can't get our hands on them. That's all. That's my only comment.
Okay. Anybody else on council?
Hey, stated. I'm good.
Okay. All right.
So, Tony, you touched on what you'll be looking at in the upcoming budget with positions. So this will be another full-time position. So what positions are you looking to add in the assistant packages? What are you asking?
One will be to convert our supplemental code compliance and that code compliance for our overgrown lots, junk cars. Go ahead and fill that position. The volume level has just got to a point that we're truly just reactive except for on the corridors and the signs and the number of folks that are using Garner Info as we continue to advertise it is just exponentially, our numbers are just climbing in that category and the complexity of the cases are. And so
take up supplemental or part-time to full-time?
Yes, sir. Okay. So that would be that one. We're looking at, within our 5-year plan, there was a plan reviewer position. Because currently, I have to pull off from all my duties. I do all the commercial plan review along with the help of Roy Barber. And then Mr. Seagroves does all of the residential plan review and then supervises the folks and does field inspections. So we were looking at maybe bringing in a full-time plan reviewer because all of our surrounding municipalities all employ full-time plan reviewers. And because that way the directors and the senior folks have more time to do what they really need to do for administration, mentoring, and training that we have to do. So that was our other decision package that was programmed in with our 5-year plan for the next year. And, whether We would seek a third, a new second inspector yet. We've discussed it yet, but I will go through the budget process with that. My decision package was for 2 years out for the next inspector. And, but with the time frame of recruiting and knowing when Mr. Seagroves is going to leave now, it might force us to bring, try to get somebody in a year ahead of schedule to try to get them trained to be able to fill that position.
Thank you.
Okay. Hearing no further questions or comment. John, I didn't mean to leave you out of this process here. Tony was the presenter. Your
name John's was name was on it because I was out of town to start with. I thought
just in the event that he didn't get back. So Tony drove in from out of town to be here tonight or something. I did just want to add, and it was mentioned earlier, this position was already approved, so there's no action that has to be taken. And just for background information, Tony said that this was a full-time position that we only budgeted part-time, and that was a choice that was made within the department, because we had talented resource that was part-time. And at the time the decision was made, Mr. Beasley felt it was better to work with part-time with someone that was a known resource to us. So if you had any questions about why we had a full-time position approved but funded part-time, that's not a scenario you will hear very often. That was just done on a very specific case-by-case basis.
Me trying to be frugal and seeing what our workload really was. And as you saw in my last comment, if we have anybody retires, we'll truly look at our current workload. But as Jeff said, I don't foresee our workload for 5 years out slowing down for Garner. And so what would come back on the consent agenda from HR would be the one new job, the building inspector job, because that one's not one that's funded. So that one would be the new position.
Okay.
The fire position was approved but not funded. The building inspector position was a new position added to our total. So that's the one you'll see on the consent agenda will be the new building inspector position.
Council, you're comfortable with that? We'll come back on the consent agenda. All right.
Thank you very kindly for your time tonight.
Thank you, Tony. And thank you for the good work your department does. I know you're going to be gone a lot, so hopefully this will help. Okay, I believe we are now to item 5 on the agenda, and we will hear from our budget project manager, Mr. Mike Franks. Welcome, sir. Tell us if we have any money to do these things, right?
Exactly. I hope everybody's excited for budget talk. Keep it going this with the FY19, FY20 third quarter review process. So this is something that we implemented last year. So it's a refresher for existing council members, people who were on staff last year. And then hopefully we'll give some education to new members. Basically, this is part of our overall budget review process. It allows staff to review the financial position of the town and provide a summary to the council. We're doing this on a month-to-month basis, and I'll go into detail on that. But at this point in the year, we are three-fourths of the way through the year, hence the name third quarter. So it gives staff an opportunity to have a fair amount of information about where we are financially within the current year in terms of revenues and expenditures. Bring that information to you. So it does a couple of different things. Provides staff an opportunity to revise revenues and expenditures as part of a single process. So we'll potentially make a variety of recommendations as opposed to kind of having one at a time trickle in from on the consent agenda, so we could potentially have a variety or a significant number of adjustments at one single time. And then it also provides staff an opportunity to meet one-time requirements. So the overall goal of this, when we first started it, was to hopefully start to address some of the perform items. So the perform is the list of capital needs the town has. And because this is one-time funding, it's not a recurring funding source, it's just additional revenues or expenditure savings that we have, it's ideal to use it for one-time items. So unfortunately, at this point, because some of the perform items have been a little bit more costly, some of the ones at the higher ends, we haven't been able to fund any of those, but we have been able to fund a few one-time items to reduce pressure on future year budgets or to meet one-time requirements within departments. So just some information on how we go through this and how we do the process. So this is how we do our revenue estimates. So for each basically revenue category, we call them objects. For this one, it's subdivision fees. We have a spreadsheet where we have a model. So you can see on the bottom left, we have totals by month. So every month you go in and basically add how much came in that month. And we've done that all the way back to July of 2015. So you have a variety of historical data. Then on the top left, you have projections for FY20 and FY21. So that is the current year and the next year. And it just, it's a couple different options in terms of ways to look at for future projections. And you can kind of get a snapshot of where the revenue category is and how much we're potentially going to get in. And then on the right side, top right, you have a growth trend summary. So you can see how the growth has happened over the last few years. So you can see what subdivision fees, as we've talked about with growth in development, have been coming in significantly higher year by year. You can see in the bottom right, FY17, we had about $11,000 in revenue. FY18, $21,000. $45,000 in FY19 and somewhere around $80,000 potentially this year. So just that growth coming in over and over. We also do the same thing on the expenditure side. So this is an example of how we project out on the personnel side. So personnel being the people, that's where we're going to have a significant amount of savings generally. As people leave, we get lap salary savings. So this is the way we monitor that. So on the top, you can see the actuals from prior years. So you'd have it broken down by category so you could get a feel of what happened in the past. And then on the left-hand side, you can see all the different pay periods. And basically, as each pay period happens, you lay out what actually happened within that year. And then you can project out, as you can see down at the bottom, kind of the gray area, what might happen in the future. I have a pretty good feel of what's going to happen within most departments, if there's going to be somebody getting hired, somebody leaving. So you can project out, so it gives you a feel of exactly how much savings might be generated. And we do the same thing on the operating side, but that takes a little bit more on department feedback just because I don't have as great of a feel of exactly what's happening and what departments are going to spend money on. So we use both those tools to monitor revenues and expenditures. It gives us then the opportunity to make some adjustments. And this is just some of the items that we funded last year as part of this process. So we had the Recreation Center Reserve. So based on the fact that last year we budgeted some funding for the thinking the Recreation Center would be open, it ultimately was not. So we utilized some of those savings, put it into reserve for future one-time requirements. We funded some transportation design software for the engineering department so they can do some additional design work for future transportation projects. Funded a portion of the WRAL campaign, so the articles that you've seen in WRAL highlighting some of the town's achievements. The security system at Avery Street, and also the asset management system at Public Works. So that just gives you a feel of the one-time type of needs that you could potentially fund with this this process. So with that, I'll take any questions, and I'll bring back at a future meeting kind of where we are financially and let you know and give you the actual report. Just want to give you a high-level overview of the process and see if you had any questions.
Okay, thank you, sir. Questions from council. I'll start with Mr. Singleton.
None at this time, Michael, but I do appreciate you bringing the information to us on the on our quarterly review. I know we'll get be getting things cranked up with the budget here in the next few weeks.
Okay. Ms. Behringer?
I have no questions, but I would also like to express my appreciation. We have a, as much as we can, we have a good grasp on what's going on and not many surprises, so thank you.
Mr. Vance?
Questions? Thank you.
Mr. Dellinger.
No questions right now, but I'll probably have to get with you with these revenue estimates. I'm a data person, and I'm having a hard time figuring out where all the data is coming from and your selection of what's presented.
Okay. I can send you the Excel spreadsheet, or I can get together with you so we can go over it and kind of get a feel of exactly what numbers I'm pulling from.
I'm missing something.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay. So no other questions. This is a report only. No action required. Thank you very much for the good work you do. Okay. Manager report. Mr. Manager, we're ready to hear from you.
Only thing I have to report is the bus rapid transit meeting that was scheduled for last week and got canceled due to weather has been rescheduled for March the 3rd from 4 to 7 at the Senior Center.
March 7th?
March the 3rd from 4 to 7 at the Senior Center. And I do have one other thing to report, to talk about. So So we sent out some information about potential retreat dates and then also some other meetings that we wanted to have with council, and we got some responses back. And through those responses, we got a modified plan for the retreat. We're going to go on with the lines of business as proposed, and that was the 18th and 19th, I believe. And the retreat, what we intend to do is to go ahead and have our work session on the 31st like we normally do, and we'll cover, you know, four or so items at that regular work session. And then we plan to have go into some more retreat items on the next day, which is April 1st. And at that time, we'll cover, you know, things like council dynamics. We'll have a facilitator. We'll hopefully have Davenport there to talk about some debt capacity and some other things to do with debt and financing of projects. We were planning to have that offsite. We're looking at different locations right now, but that would be a modification of what we sent you. We originally sent you having a retreat on the 1st and 2nd of April and not having a work session. But it seems like since most of you have the March 31st work session already programmed into your regular timetable, we would keep that date, and then we would use the following day to continue on with some retreat type items.
Okay, question on that, right? So would that be the normal meeting time, or would it be 2 or 3 hours earlier to give us plenty of time to cover things? I know we're going to the next day also.
Yeah, we're open. Right now, we just got it at the normal start time, but we're definitely open to starting earlier, depending on your preference. Because we could certainly, we think we could take up another couple of hours if we needed to.
And also, there's some items that we've got potentially slotted for that work session that we don't know for sure whether they'll be ready, like the compression study. We anticipate the consultant will likely be done by then, in which case that's probably one that we would want to talk about. But it's also possible that they won't quite be finished. And so if we had a little bit more time, we might be able to figure out how much time we need. But if there's a council preference, we can certainly adapt to that.
Okay, well, on that specific item, the compression study is going to be related to the budget year this year, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They need to get hustled on up if they don't have it ready by the end of March, because when are we going to talk about it next? The work session in April. So,
yeah, no, that's the target.
Like, that's an important topic.
I was just trying to give an example. There are, okay, you know, okay.
That's one that it sounds like should be a priority. It should be ready for the meeting.
It is.
Okay. I mean, meeting earlier that day is fine, because the meeting at night, you know, doesn't take away much more time during the day. So if we want to meet at 4, 3, whatever, 2, you tell me. What's up with everyone else? You know, that's okay with everyone else.
Well, if everybody's okay with that, what we'll do is we'll look at the slate of items we have and kind of look at how much time we think it'll take and whether we need to add any other items. And then we can come back with you with the schedule for that day. But okay, we probably wouldn't add any more than a couple more hours to it.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, and
a 4 o'clock start at the earliest if we needed it.
We don't have it on the 31st.
On the 31st, yes. Okay. And then the 1st would be a full day.
Right. Okay. But even before we get to that, and there's a question I think by Ms. Behringer, the earlier meetings in March 18 and 19,
mm-hmm,
lines of business, that's technically not the part of the retreat, but it's kind of a special session, right?
Yes. Yeah, and you want to cover it?
Yeah. I mean, we had listed that those two dates along with a lot of others just to help for calendar, you know, checking in, that kind of thing. We kind of consider that separate from the retreat. Everybody seemed to be okay with those dates. So unless something has changed, we're planning to move forward with those as is the 18th and 19th.
Start that morning on the 18th, is that right? Or
yeah, we'll send out a specific schedule, but those would be basically two full days or something close to that. So yeah, we start in the morning.
Be done right here at the town hall, right?
Yeah, town hall. Right. Not necessarily in this room, but at town hall, not off site. That's correct.
Okay. All right. Any other questions about that?
I think the other, that's helpful enough, and that lets us get started. There are some other dates that we'll still have to figure out as we move along, but those two are the most immediate and will help us for now.
Okay, so we're good for now. We have this list. I don't think anybody, I haven't heard of many. Well, Mr. Singleton's had some concerns about some of the future dates and hard for him to plan and know some of these, but those are still solid as far as we know, at least projected anyway, on the list you sent out.
Yeah. I mean, the majority of you all were comfortable with those, but there are still some questions that we're going to try to make it work for everybody. So we'll keep working on the rest of the dates.
And at some point in time, we'll get some feedback about what your preferred days are during the week or certain weeks, and that'll help us in the future as we try to plan meetings to try to stay away from some of the target dates. But recognizing that we got to pick something, so it becomes more of a challenge for every restriction you have on dates or weeks. So, because we got a lot going on, and we have a lot of information to put before you, so we want to make sure we do that, but we also want to be respectful of your time too, and not overburden you. Yes.
Can I say buckle your seatbelts and hang on? We got stuff to do. We really do. Yeah. But thank you. Was that it, Mr. Manager?
Yes.
Okay. I will go to council reports, and again, I'll be fairly brief. I want to take first dibs at this. I think I passed down to each of you a proposed a plaque arrangements for the Garner Recreation Center. I think I've talked to each one of you individually, and maybe we've gone back and forth a little bit on this. But this is sort of a proposal of what we recommend would go on that plaque. Obviously, this relates back to the, if I can refer to it, the older council and the positions at that time when this whole process got underway, the planning, the funding, and all those things, and under normal circumstances would have already been completed during this time frame. So we wanted to give you final, sort of a final, I don't know if we can call it a final mock-up of probably how that plaque would look. So if anybody has a question or real concern, that's something we need to go ahead and get done and get ordered since we anticipate an opening, can I say, before too long? Yeah, okay. That's all I have for right now. So, again, I will start this time at this end of the dais, Mr. Dellinger.
Nothing from me.
Okay. Mr. Vance.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Is there a basketball game on tonight, people?
Must be.
Carolina State or
something. Who cares?
Okay, yeah. An hour and a half.
What time does it start? 8 o'clock? I guess. Okay. 9 o'clock. Excuse me. Okay. Ms. Behringer.
The question, who cares and who's playing?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's NC State, I care.
And, I'm teasing.
Excuse me. Yes, sir.
Okay, just a few things. I had asked at the last council meeting about the brush or the overgrowth at the lot at the corner of Timber and 70 where the old gasoline platform was removed, and I had asked about having that brush cut down or asking DOT to remove it. Do we have any progress on that?
Progress in that, yes, we have asked, not progress in that we have not heard an answer yet.
How much longer will we wait before we fix it ourselves?
In talking with Public Works, we are already maintaining a portion of that lot, mm-hmm. and we're kind of hesitant to take on the entire maintenance for the whole lot. So I think if we don't get a positive response from them, maybe we can talk further about what some options would be, but there's a point at which we keep taking on things that DOT should be doing, and that it starts to impact our ability to do our town responsibilities.
And that's certainly understandable, but given the location of the spot, that there's so much traffic that goes through there, I think we need to make a little extra effort to or consider ways to get that done, because it really does look bad. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I talked to Mr. Johnson last week about the work that was done with either AT&T or Verizon or whoever putting cable along the Garner Road and various side streets. There's still a hole at the top of Penny Street in the pavement, getting worse. The sidewalk that was torn up has been fixed, and it's settling now, but that hole is still there.
Yes.
And getting deeper, so if we can have that looked into. And I mentioned to Mr. Hodges about the possibility of planting some flowers at the sign on Garner Road that indicates the Creech Road Park. Is that Creech Road Park? Okay. I'm sorry, Creech Road, not Garner Road. We have a sign there that acknowledges that it's Town of Garner and Wake County Partnership. So if we could plant just a few flowers at the base of that sign, it would be welcoming as people come in that way into Garner. Again, the lighting at the South Station is still terrible. They have poles with four lights on each pole, and maybe one light works on each one. It's very dark over there. And then the pavement in the parking lot is deteriorating badly. Just a lot of holes and a lot of pop-outs. And I do have something good to say. In the past few weeks, we've had two articles, or we've been mentioned twice in the Triangle Business Journal, about development in Garner. One was the Class A office space at the intersection of Jones Sausage and East Garner Road. And then the other was about a new project that's coming on board on new Rand Mill Road in the downtown area. So we are being noted as being progressive. That's all, sir.
Okay. Thank you for noting our progressiveness. Thank you very much. Yeah, those were nice articles. Mr. Sandman.
Yes, a question for staff. They asked answers, so those of you who may have watched the meeting in regards to talking about Jones Sausage Road improvements on both the north and the south side. We know the south side is going to be a longer process because of the cost and also the involvement with both NCDOT and the railroad. The northern part, which I think we hope to move along far enough that we'll be able to apply for the funding process this fall. Get the funding process. It takes a year before you write, before you realize that you've been approved. Then it takes another year to get the funds, correct? Sometime within the next 12 months, you get the funds.
Yes, sir. So if we submit a fall application this year, and if the funding is available in a 2021 bond, then we could progress ahead with the project at that point. We wouldn't have to wait longer for the funding. We could still have the agreements in to start the work.
We get reimbursed.
Yes, sir.
So just to let everyone know, because Amazon improvements on Jones Sausage Road will be done sometime this year, probably in the summertime, that our process will probably be 3 years after that, at the earliest.
For completion.
For completion.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So if one has a stroke, wants to know what's going on, that's the case. But if you look at where they're, when their project started, we had that meeting in here, I believe it was in June or July of 18, it'll be 2 years. So it's taking 2 years to do one improvement. But the process is in place, and when people ask me, and now we find out the cost for that may be several million dollars, $8 million, somewhere in there. It's talking, we don't know yet.
It was actually in your report tonight, yeah. So it's one of those phases that was in your report tonight.
I saw several million dollars. That's why I give them several million reasons why it's not done yet, because it's just not that easy. I mean, it was simply put, because we'll hope to get funding assistance for that. And that's our part of that project. What's called, we don't know what our part may be yet because we don't know what it's going to be.
Correct.
And that again will be four-lane divided median, curb and gutter, sidewalks on both sides. Take sidewalks all the way to the I-40 on both sides through the improvements that Amazon do.
Yes, sir.
And hopefully at that time, the town will also seek at the Garner Road and Jones Sausage intersection to take sidewalks just a little bit further east and to connect to the sidewalk outside the Ashton subdivision and come up on the other side of Garner Road and connect to the townhome project out there, which will have sidewalks. Because when we plan for the Jurgen Park property, we're going to take sidewalks and connect to this piece that we're coming up across New Grand Road with, I hope. And then you'll have a sidewalk, or you can walk all the way from Amazon or the Hunter's Mark subdivision and come all the way to Park, walk all the way to downtown. Because we saw the sidewalks that were improved, that are included on the improvements for the office park. So.
And if you want to keep on walking on the sidewalk, you can walk all the way to Lake Benson Park.
Good.
Yeah.
We're not crossing 70. You have to find the snow. Well, you can go on to 50.
That's right.
And we'll get there in bits and pieces.
Yep.
So, anyway, I just want people to realize that when people want to know why the HE double hockey sticks. We hadn't finished the rest of Jones Office Road. There are several million reasons why. And it is in process. It's a slow process. We just can't snap a finger and improve the road. It takes a lot of money. So appreciate the information.
One question here, please.
Yeah, I neglected to ask this one. The last year and a half ago, I guess maybe now, when Mr. Hopkins was here giving us an update from DOT, I mentioned that Woodland Road, the section between Van Dorn Springs Road and Timber Drive, would be resurfaced. I believe he said in the spring of this year. Do we have any updates about that?
No, the last time we asked him, he just reaffirmed that it was still the spring of this year, and so I don't have anything more definite than that. We can try to reach out and see. I think the way that they let their contracts, I don't know if he will have more specifics, but we can ask.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that.
Mr. Johnson's latest update that he had, it was listed as Mr. Hodges stated that that's what it says, is spring of 19.
Right, that's what
spring of 20.
Spring of 20. Yeah. Okay, anything else from the council under reports or otherwise? Let me just make a quick note, and I fail to do this often, but thank you, those of you who've come this evening to observe and be a part of your town government at work. At least these on this side, it's a volunteer attendance. These over here, it's not so volunteer for them. And I should also mention that I know there are those in our town who watch the broadcast, and we appreciate your interest in stay engaged and stay interested, sure enough. If there's nothing else for the good of the council in this meeting, I will entertain a motion that we adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, and so approved. Thank you all.